All right, that sound means it's time for the Louisiana Trail Report this week. This is Michael Prayer with Get On A Trail Streetport LLC.
And this is Brad Caldwell. I go by Brad, but you can call me Brad, Michael.
All right, well, Brad, I heard a sound that I love. It was the sound of you opening a can of beer, and which is much better than opening up a can of whoop ass. But
or a can of worms.
Or a can of worms. But this is a new request we had from a listener. He said, why don't you guys drink a Louisiana beer during the show and then talk about it? And so that's Jonathan Miles from Atlanta, Louisiana. Thank you, Jonathan. So we're doing it. Today we are drinking Little Victories by Great Raft Brewing here in Shreveport.
Okay, just to preface, Michael, I know where Atlanta, Louisiana is.
I'm sure you do, Brad.
I do know where Atlanta is. So I've got family history in Atlanta.
Well, maybe Jonathan Miles' family.
Jonathan may know, but I think it's still under seal.
Okay.
Okay. Can I say to preface all of this that, as you know about me, I'm not a big beer connoisseur in terms of, you know, understanding the differences between certain types of beers.
But you know what you like.
I know what I like, and I've never tried this particular beer out. So would you like to introduce the beer?
Yeah, as I said, it's called Little Victories, and it's Great Raft. I sure did.
Oh.
Which tells how good you listen to me.
It's not very good.
And anyway, so the can's really cool because it's got other beer cans on it from other beers that they do, like Commotion and 318 and Old Mad Joy. So it's cool. But it is a 5.5% alcohol per volume, and it has mango, pineapple, passion fruit, and orange in it. And it is an ale. It presents a little bit like an IPA. It's a little bit kind of a cloudy look about it. Brad's taking his first sip. All right, Brad, what do you think about it?
A little hoppy for my taste. I'm not a hoppy guy.
I could tell that by your frown on your face.
Yeah, I'm not a hoppy guy. It's okay. I don't taste as much as the... I mean, this is a negative report I'm giving you already.
Well, I mean... you do like fruity. You tend to like fruitier beers.
Don't tell people that because my man card's going to
be punched. You're a little fruity.
My man card's going to be punched. I don't taste the mango, the pineapple, the passionate fruit, or the orange at all.
It's passionate fruit, huh?
Maybe that's...
Oh, I love you, buddy!
I don't know. I'm not giving it...
It's not your jam?
I don't taste anything in there. Do you?
I mean, it tastes fruity, but I can't single out that's passion fruit or that's mango. But it does have a fruity kind of note to it.
Now, let's say that we love Great Raft.
Oh, Great Raft's fantastic. Yes.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And we love some of the beers from Great Raft.
And the names are always great. Like, and the reason I went with Little Victories is this week we got the podcast loaded up on Podbean.
So we celebrated.
And we're not very technologically advanced. So getting the podcast just on Podbean without getting it on Google yet and Apple, we're working on it. Is a little victory.
Speak for yourself.
Well,
A third try here,
all right,
Michael.
Give it another
talking,
try.
Talk
okay,
while I...
Okay, all right, I'll talk. So that's what we're going to be doing. Thanks to Jonathan Miles, we're going to be kind of drinking the Little Victories or a beer each week and talking about it briefly, because you should try a beer when you come to Louisiana, because we actually have a pretty good craft beer industry going here in Louisiana. I'm really proud of it.
We do. We actually do.
All right. So what are your secondary impressions of it?
It's a little better on the third and fourth sip.
Uh-huh.
I still am not tasting any fruit whatsoever. I think you are a little bit, but I'm not. And again, I am not a beer expert. I know what I like. And so I'm not... dissing. Am I dissing?
So, like, if we were to rate it out of 5, would you go like a 3?
That's a little too optimistic.
Okay. So you're more of a 2, 2.5?
I'm a 2.5.
Okay. I'm a solid 4 on this one. I like this one. Although I wish some of the notes of fruit were a little bit more evident, like, oh, that's definitely orange, but I do like it. All right, so
hoppy.
Let's climb a different tree here, Brad, and let's talk about the guest we have this week. First guest on Louisiana Trail Report, and it's Edie Amon from the Lou Guru fame and the originator of the Red Dirt and the Chico Challenge. I'm excited to talk to her. We had a great conversation with her.
Thank God, because I'm sure people are just sick and tired of listening to us.
All right, so without further ado, we're going to go ahead and let you go right into the interview with Edie Amon from the Lou Guru.
Okay, everybody, here's the moment we've been waiting for. Michael, we've got Edie on the phone.
Welcome, Edie.
Welcome, Edie. She's our very first guest.
Yeah.
It's about time, because nobody wants to listen to us.
No, that's not true.
I think it's very true. So we've known Edie for quite a number of years. She's a mainstay with race directing in Louisiana.
Yep.
And so without further ado, Edie, what I thought you'd do is introduce yourself to us. Give us a little background information, okay? Where you're from. We don't want your after-tax income. We don't need that. But just funny things, who are you and what got you into it? Go.
Ah, man. Okay, yeah. I'm Edie Amaw. I am the race director for Lou Guru Trail Run and Chico Challenge in Louisiana. Let's see. Man, background for running. I started, ironically enough, now I ran a little bit in high school and wasn't good at it. I wasn't nearly fast enough to run track. So gave that up and didn't run again for years. And I was actually taking karate. And one of my fellow students said that I should run a marathon. And I was like, well, that's just stupid. Nobody wants to run that far. So then they talked me down and talked me into doing a half marathon with them. So I started with that and then with team and training, raising money for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And from there, just started, ran a bunch of halves, probably ran about 5 fulls or maybe 6 fulls. I don't remember, but by the 4th or 5th full marathon, I was kind of over it. Cause that was back in the really when the rock and roll marathons were like at their heyday and everything was becoming a rock and roll. And it was just noisy. I just remember being just loud and noisy and just, it wasn't for me. And, somehow stumbled onto a group of dudes. Cause at the time there weren't really any women running trails in my area that I knew about. So I found a bunch of dudes that were running trails and kind of hitched on to them and headed out to Chico with them one time. And that was it. From there, it was trails and quickly evolved into ultra running. That's just, how life is. If it's something doesn't kill you, let me try the next thing that's harder than that, So, kind of a quick evolution of that for sure.
It's important when you find your people. And was that the Mud and Guts crew that you found?
That was actually pre-Mud and Guts. These were some old school ultra runners who had been doing some running up here. And after running with them for a while, I started talking to female runners, road runners in town, and started talking them into coming out with us. And gradually that built into Mud and Guts, our trail running group now. And just turned into a great crew. I mean, now it's like family. They're some of our longest friends, I should say. But you wouldn't think, because we have to drive. I mean, we have one little bitty trail here in Lafayette where it's a little kind of bike trail. You can maybe get 6 miles unless you want to do a whole lot of loops. But to get to the closest decent trail, it's Chico State Park, and it's about a 45-minute drive. But, man, steady, every weekend for years, we had crews going out there every weekend, and it just built. It kind of got a really good, solid group out there.
So it's so important when you find that group of people that instead of just saying, oh, that sounds stupid, they're like, that sounds stupid. What time do I show up?
Yeah.
It's true. That's absolutely true. Well, we have some friends in the group as well that'll do these, the old school term is, and hopefully y'all mind a little bit of cursing, but is the fat ass runs, where it's just, it's an unofficial race. It's not actually a race, but it's kind of a race. And no fees, no permits, nothing like that. You just go and run. And we have a couple of guys in our group that'll put together just the strangest things. And man, everybody jumps on board. And as long as it's on trails and it's with people and there's beer and camaraderie, everybody shows up, you know, which is a cool thing.
I think those are so fun. So Edie, a little bit about the Lou Guru race. How long have you had that race going?
Oh my goodness. I think we just finished our seventh year, I think. Before Lou Guru, it was Cajun Coyote. Years ago, God, I don't remember how years ago this was, but I was working at a running store in Lafayette, and fella came in. Try Running back in the day.
Try Running.
So, yep. Way, yeah. And that was my first, because I'd stayed home. I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years with my kids, and that was my first kind of just getting back part-time into working. And I was working there and in running trails at the time. And this old school ultra runner dude from California had been transferred to Louisiana with the oil field, I'm sure.
Right.
And he had heard about Chico, and he heard that I was out there all the time, that we led groups out there. So he came talk to me and he asked me to help him start Cajun Coyote out at Chico. And I did. We manned an aid station for him for a few years. Really, really cool fellas. The Coyote, they put on Coyote 2 Moon and other races out in California. Really good guys. But eventually they asked me, after a few years, if I would take the race over. They wanted to give me Cajun Coyote. And at the time in my life, I couldn't. I didn't have the time to even – I just didn't have – like they say, I didn't have the bandwidth for it at the time.
Right.
So they gave it to another race director in Louisiana, and he had it for a few years, and it kind of just fizzled. And then Lou Guru came in. That's when I started Lou Guru, because just seeing, you know, the previous race director, you know, we'd go out there 2 weeks after the race. The course markings were still there. There was still like it wasn't cleaned up. He just wasn't treating the trails right. And you know, we love these trails. That's why we go out there. You know, it's awesome. Kind of our church on the weekend.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Just decided once it kind of fizzled a little bit, I waited a little bit to see if he was going to do it again. And when he didn't, I started Lou Guru. I figured it's just a case of I can do that better. I can treat the trails better. I can treat the runners better, and give a better experience for people coming to Louisiana.
And the park deserves a good product like what you put on there.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Ian, right. Because that's a big thing. I know with our experiences, mom with Wild Azalea, you with Monkey. Is that you've got to keep that relationship with the park, because if that ever frays, boy, you're in big trouble.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
Yeah. The park staff loves their park. They're very, very proud of their park. So when you can showcase it and do it in a good way, a positive way, they're more than happy to have you out there, you know?
They are. They are. It's funny when I, this is interjecting, when I put on the Indian Creek Triathlon in Alexandria for like 10, 12 years, after the race, y'all, I'd go get barbecue and I'd take it out to the Rangers and I'd bring some beer and they'd go, we can't drink beer during the day. I said, well, you know, tonight.
Right.
Here's the thing about
exactly.
Mark and Lou Guru. I would tell people for years, if you were coming to Louisiana and you wanted to do one race that in your mind was quintessential Louisiana, you need to do
Chica.
Lou Guru. Yeah. You need to go and do that race because it's so iconic in some of the ways that, you know, how beautiful it is. You have had some trouble in the last couple of years with that race as far as Mother Nature not cooperating at all. She
yeah,
has
well,
been
and actually,
you
know,
the last 2 years.
It was actually COVID that did it. Because
COVID,
we've had some storms out there, but the little guy that his name is Eric. That man, and it's one guy that manages all 20 miles of the trails out there. He's a great guy, but when he needs, he knows he'll call and we'll get a crew together and go do trail cleanup. And we'll, you know, he'll get permission to where we can actually bring chainsaws because they're very prickly about who has chainsaws in their woods, you know.
And they
should. And we've helped remark the trail and everything. So,
what
I'm alluding to is that you've had some warmer days. I think it was almost 80 degrees in December this last year, which is not good.
I know. It's Louisiana. I mean, it's going to be extreme one way or another. You know, it's either going to be too hot, too cold, or you're going to have knee-deep water. It's just, you know.
I'm saying you're due for some cold weather this year.
I mean, Edie, we had at Wild Azalea this year, it was 70. It topped out in the low 70s. Mm. That is not.
Which is great. Last time I was there, I was crunching ice on the trail for Wild Azalea.
And we knew that we're going to have some tap outs, and boy, did we have some tap outs.
Yeah.
Because it's just,
it
is. But Michael's right. That is the quintessential Louisiana trail.
And it's good that you got the whole loop back. You know, COVID closed it down for a little bit, but now the loop is, and you made changes.
Yeah.
You worked on the fly and did what you had to do to keep a race for the good people. But it's nice to have the whole loop back open now.
Oh, definitely.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And you're going to give us a trail profile on that loop here at the end of the interview. Okay. So we don't want to give too much away about it, because Edie will tell you all about the loop here in a bit.
So you probably answered my question. This is how you morph from being just a trail runner with a group into being a full-fledged race director, right? And so at what point did you say to yourself, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? Or have you had that?
Man, pretty much every year when it's time to really get kicking and get planning on it. Because, I mean, you like you guys, you know, I have a full-time job, you know, so race directing is an extra. Like I say, I have my paying job, and then I have a race directing job on the side, you know.
Absolutely.
So, but it's always every year. I know, especially like the day or two right after, because I've told people this in the past, and I think Walker Higgins, another race director, and has said the same thing, that running 100 miles, like physically running it yourself, is so much easier than race directing it. Because, I mean, the race directing is such a long weekend. And, you know, every year my husband and I will sit and kind of look at each other right after the race and be like, oh, man, I don't know if we're going to keep doing this, you know. But then as soon as that feeling passes, then you remember how amazing it is. You know, the people's lives are changed at these races. You know, it's so cool to be just a small part of that. Where, you know, and it could be even if it's somebody finishing the 20-mile loop and they have, you know, because they have the full extent of the 100-mile time limit to do it, so they can come. Anybody's able to do it if they want to. But when they finish, and it's such a huge accomplishment for them, man, that is amazing. So, you know, as soon as we're out there and we experience that again, we're like, all right, this is why we're doing it. You know, it is a lot of work. It's a lot of sleepless nights. It's a lot of stress. It's a lot of worry. But, man, it's so worth it, you know.
It's very rewarding to see. It's why people stay up late at night watching Iron Man finisher videos. Because just when you see that human triumph, you know, it is very rewarding.
Yeah.
And that's really all the pay we need, you know, most of the time. And you're right. It's exhausting. It's more exhausting than running the event.
Absolutely.
You put so many miles on your body that day, just around like a 400, you know, yard area around the start finish line. And people come up to you probably as well and say, you need to go and take a nap. You need to take a 45 minute break or something, you know. And it's good to have people look out for you like that.
And obviously, give a shout out to your volunteers, your key volunteers, because we know that that can't happen without those folks.
Yeah. She's got great people to help her.
We do. We really do. Well, you know, before Luguru, I started Red Dirt. That was our very first one. And before, when I first got the idea, I went out with David Terrio, who you guys are familiar with, but old school Louisiana ultra runner. And he and I went out and we did the full 31-mile loop out at Kasachi, and both of us were just amazed that this trail existed in Louisiana, because it's just so different. It's not your typical Louisiana trail. And I started kind of getting in my mind like, man, we could put a race on out here. But before I did anything, I got my core mud and gut group to come to the house. We fed them. We sat around and I said, okay, this is what I'm thinking about doing. Do I have your support? And I mean, to a T, every single one of them said absolutely. And they're all still absolutely involved. They've been there even before the beginning, because they were there for the initial. If they had said no, then we wouldn't have these races. So, I mean, they've been pivotal to the whole experience. They have ownership of it, you know, because it's as much their race as it is mine. You know?
I'm glad they said yes, because I've loved that trail and I've done quite a lot of miles out there with you on that. Let's talk real quick about Red Dirt and mentorship. Fawn Hernandez is now the race director, and she's got the Second Growth Running Company, and she's putting on that race, and you kind of passed that on to her. And tell me about, you know, the mentoring and how you, you feel towards that and growing the sport that way?
Yeah, you know, well, one thing, because I'm 52. I know, I don't know how old you guys are, but I'm, you know, looking for, hopefully in the next 10 years or so to kind of, you know, maybe not retire completely, because I don't know if I'll be able to completely retire, but moving in that direction. And,
right,
you know, Red Dirt is an amazing race, but it's so remote. I mean, we have to haul in all the water, all the generators. There's nothing. So, and which was, and it's a beautiful race to put on. But after the last couple of years, Randy and I after would kind of look at each other like, man, we got to find somebody and start grooming somebody else to move into this role. And, you know, we thought about a few different people. And, I mean, Fawn was just the most natural option. I mean, she's got a lot of experience on a lot of trails around the country. She's a great ultra runner. And you guys don't know her as well as I do, but she is detail oriented. She's a spreadsheet girl big time. And you have to have that to be a race director. You really do have to think of all the little bitty details.
Yeah.
So I started talking to her about it.
And she's genuine.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to have an honest love for the sport. You know, we've all seen it. We've all been to races where clearly it's a moneymaker, you know, and it's just not the same feel as, you know, if you get to an aid station and it's all ultra runners there and they're all tripping over themselves to help you or to drain your blisters or to fill your water bottle or whatever. That's the kind of experience you want to have at a race. And I've had it both ways, where it's like a bunch of cheerleaders behind the table and they just look at you and they don't help and they couldn't care less if you're there or not.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, you chose wisely. You definitely did a great job in that selection, because she's going to carry it forward and do it. And you're going to be proud of how she does on that in the next 10 years for sure.
Not definitely.
Oh yeah, I think so. I think, well, and I get to find out, because it's next Saturday and I'm running a 50K for the first time. I'll be on the other side of the table of the race, so it'll be now, good to see it from that perspective.
Isn't that fun, Edie? So I time races too in the spring, and so a buddy of mine went and did your race. Uh-huh. That David and I time races. And we actually went to do, Michael put on a race out at
Old School.
No, it was not Best to Know, but come on, Brad, the other one. No, it was the other one.
Okay.
It was a trail run you did recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was Run Caney.
That's it, Caney Lake.
I do a very, very small 6 and 12 mile race in the Kisatchee up in Minden.
I'm a lot older than you.
Yeah. You had me for a second.
I had you going.
About it.
But we did the trail run and we sat and drank a beer. Mm-hmm. And talked, and we left.
Yeah.
And driving away, we're like, oh, wow, that's just wonderful.
Yeah, we don't have to clean anything up.
Exactly.
Nobody's asking what their time
exactly.
is
yeah.
or anything like that. Or
yeah. Yep.
I left a drop bag at mile. I know I left a drop mile bag somewhere, and oh, my God, yes.
The funny thing about Red Dirt, too,
exactly.
is, and I don't know if Fawn's going to continue it, but Edie came up with this, and I was there, I think, last year, and I was talking to a gentleman from Wisconsin after I'd done my 50K and to finish up the trilogy, and I had just got my feet done. You know, Edie is like the only race I've ever heard of, this race, where they will come over, wash your feet after the race,
yes.
rub them down with like baby oil or something,
yeah.
and then they put them in
oh
Kroger
yes.
bags,
yes.
and then seal them up, and you walk out of there with your feet completely like
oh my God.
Rejuvenated. And the guy's like, turns to me, and because we had been talking, we'd been sitting there 15 minutes. And he said, is this a thing they do in Louisiana?
No,
and I said, no. This is only, you get this treatment at Red Dirt. And Randy was there. He heard me tell the guy, you're only going to get this treatment here.
Yeah, you ain't getting it.
Nobody else does that. It's a cool feature. I don't know if she'll continue, but it's a great thing.
Well, yeah, I don't think she has a choice, because that's pretty organic. That Georgie and Darren Roddy are the ones that do all the food at the finish line at Red Dirt. They've been with us from the beginning, and they do all the cooking. And Georgie is, she's such a mama. She's very much a mama. She wants to take care of everybody. And she started that. I saw the first year she comes out with this pot, and she warms the water to clean your feet. So it's warm water.
Mm-hmm.
She's walking with and she has like this little kit with her that she's carrying. And I'm like, what is Georgie doing? And I walked over and I was talking to her about it, because she has a little brush and she has some talcum powder where she gets all the sand off your feet in between your toes. And while she's doing this, I'm asking her, I'm like, Georgie, what? And she says, you know, I watched a bunch of videos on how to take care of runners' feet so I could be ready to help everybody. So, and she does, and she's pretty persistent about it too. Like, you don't have the option of telling Georgie no. And because she's just so sweet and she's so earnest and really wanting to help you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't think Fawn has a choice, because I think Georgie's just going to do it regardless. So that's just part of the race now.
Fawn needs to average like your own pedicure, kind of like, you know, when you get done. Never had a pedicure, but right. You can have a mani-pedi.
It is a very unique piece to do that race.
She ought to do it.
It's true. Yeah.
So you have, though, coming up pretty soon, the Chico Challenge. And that's where I initially met you, was at the Chico Challenge. Mm-hmm. I had seen an advertisement, yeah, I guess, on Facebook for it. And I had posted on the Red River Roadrunners here in Shreveport-Bossier area. There's like 3,500 people on that Facebook page. Who wants to go down and do this with me? And I got almost no response. It was one person, and it was a woman who I really didn't know. I knew people she knew and whatever. And so we contacted you, and you hooked us up with a couple of people, Brent and Kelsey, had a team then.
Yes.
And I came and did the Chico Challenge 100-mile relay. And just talk about that, because that is such a unique race, and it's a cool race. And I know you've changed the distance now, but go ahead and tell the good people about that Chico Challenge.
Yeah, we started that. It's more of a, we look at it like an end of the season trail party, because it's mid-March, so it's March 18th. So a lot of people, a lot of people that do road marathons don't want to do a trail race during their training season just because of the chance of rolling an ankle or hurting themselves.
Yeah.
So we put it after the road racing season is, at least in Louisiana, is kind of done, because it's too hot to do those in the summer here. But and that way people can come out, they can run with their friends and just relax. We have, because it's a 20-mile loop around Chico, so we started out with a 100-mile trail relay, and we had some teams do it, but not a ton. So we just kind of backed it down to make it just a one-day party, just make it a good thing. So we have a 20-mile race now. You can do it solo, or you can do teams up to four people, to where you may have to only do 4 miles. If you have a friend that's new to trail running, they can come out, do 4 miles. It's not a big commitment on their part. And then after everybody's done, we're going to be cooking all day. We'll have beer and music out at the pavilion, and just, there's the splash pad. You can bring your kids. There's a little kids trail right there. I mean, Chico's done a really good job in that area of making it very family friendly. So we're just looking to have, just like I said, a trail party, get people to meet people from different areas, kind of old school ultra running, where people used to come out to trail races and actually hang out and sit around the fire and just visit and get to know each other. And that's kind of the design. It's not a moneymaker, I can tell you right now, because I'm starting this year for the first time, I'm offering cash prizes, and I'm offering a no medal and no t-shirt option to keep it super cheap. So for like $25, you can come do the loop, and you might win $150 if you win it. So, you know, just trying to make it appealing and get more new people out to the trail without it being too intimidating, like it's a 100-mile relay, you know?
No, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. So should we then morph into Edie telling us about Chico?
Yeah, let's get a little trail profile on the Chico Lake Loop. Could you give us some details, some insider information, like, on that trail?
Where to go, where to park, how to get there.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, well, and really the easiest thing, if you look on the website for the state park, do not just, if you enter Chico State Park in your GPS, like the words in your GPS, it's going to take you to a really old part of the park where it was old group campsite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but if you go on their website, there's actually the street address that you can enter in. That'll take you right to the front gate, $3 a person to get in. From the front gate, when you drive through, just drive straight ahead, and you'll see the main trailhead on the left. There's a little parking area. That, from that trailhead, if you go clockwise, 20 miles later, you get right back to your car. So it's super easy to navigate the park. There's plenty of bathrooms. It's a great park. But when you first go into the trail, if you go clockwise, a lot of people freak out, because like the first 4 miles of the trail are pretty consistently hilly. There's a lot of, and they're not super long climbs, but they're steep. So it's not really runnable for average people. You know, there's some people that can really run it, but, you know, for regular people, not so much. But, you know, the first 4 miles, you're going to cross a 2-mile road bridge, across the lake, which is absolutely beautiful because we have all the cypress trees in the lake. And
If
you hit it right at sunrise, it's the best time to hit that spot 2 miles in because it's absolutely gorgeous. But then after that, you're going to go towards the levee. You have Chico has everything. You have from the bottomlands, like the swamps, the hardwoods, hardwood forest, and then you have some climbing spots where you get to some piney woods. You have long, long foot bridges that cross across the lake. So there's big cypress trees all around you. If you can catch that when that spot, those spots when it's raining out there, I think are just magical. Because just the sound out there, all the birds, the sounds of all the, you know, critters, frogs and stuff, you know. I'm sure there's alligators. I've seen a couple out there. Nothing to scare you. It's not like, you know, you see pictures of like Brazos Bend where you're basically hurtling alligators. Chico's not like that, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I mean, just it's a lot more climbing than you would imagine. I think Chico has between 2,000 and 2,500 feet of gain per loop. So it's up, but it's little. Most of them are little short hills that just kind of eat up your legs, you know, without you realizing it. Mm-hmm. But it is absolutely the most Louisiana trail out there because it's got a little bit of everything that we love on it.
Yeah, you know you're in Louisiana.
Yeah, I mean it's a great trail
for sure. Mm-hmm.
And Mud and Guts has helped keep it up over the years. And the park, what's the guy's name at the park who keeps it up?
Eric. Eric does a fantastic job. Yep.
I mean, it's a gem. Yep. It's a Louisiana gem, no doubt.
So it's just...
it is. And you were talking about, you know, well, you were talking about taking care of the park staff and just laughing with Eric. Every time we go to clean, I bring him all kinds of Lugaroo merch. I'll bring him like cups and hoodies, and same thing with the park staff in the office. I always bring them lots of stuff and always give them a report after with all the rave reviews with the runners, just to let them know how much people appreciate it, you know, because it's such a unique, beautiful trail. I mean, I've run beautiful trails all over the country, but man, there's just nothing like Chico. You know, you can't find it anywhere else.
There is nothing like it. There's nothing like your home trail, basically, especially what you're used to and all of that. And, you know, I get it because I've listened to podcasts from race directors around the country who have actually pissed off the rangers or the forester. And I'm like, dude, that is not the way to do it.
No.
You have to treat these
kid
gloves. I mean, you have, that's what you have to do.
You have to show them the respect they deserve. Yeah,
absolutely.
These
trails that we have in Louisiana, especially, are so precious to us because, I'm biased to them, obviously, as we all are.
Yeah.
But they're in our backyard, and they're precious to us, and we have to take care of them. We just have to do that.
So absolutely. Thank you for that great trail report. Yep. That was the best trail report.
Better than mine.
Nobody knows it. Nobody knows that trail better than Edie, I would say.
Yeah, that's great. So what are some give us some interesting things that have happened in your career as a race director? You don't have to name names, Edie. We know the name of the race director that you talked about earlier. We're not going to mention that individual's name, any interesting thing, like I'll give you an example. Like this year I got a text from somebody for Wild Jose to ask me how long the 27 mile run was. And I was like, I wanted so much to come back and but I was nice. I didn't, you know, I did play a little sarcasm into it, you know, but anything pops up in your mind, I had a guy also while I was there, I think the guy was drunk. He drove in from Dallas.
Yeah.
And he wasn't our normal Dallas crew. Because, like, for instance, I saw Rennie is signed up.
Yeah.
Rennie, we all know Rennie has done our races.
Yeah.
But this was another dude that came in from Dallas and he wore a bathrobe. And he said, and he talked about how he face planted on the whole trail.
Yeah.
And I swear he was drunk. So anyway, I digress. Anything that comes to your mind?
Oh my God. Yeah. There's a couple. I think, man, one of the first, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Joe Persades. He used to be the owner of Teja Trails. He was a race director of all the ultras when I cut my teeth on ultras. He's the reason I love the sport so much. But Joe Persades has been he was a mentor to me when I became a race director. So he's my buddy. I call him with questions. And I had somebody, I think it was the first year of Red Dirt. They were doing their first 100 miler. It's a man, mm-hmm. a dude. And he emailed me or texted me. I can't remember because, you know, the week just before the race, you get communication from all avenues. But and he messaged me and he said, hey, this is my first 100 and I'm a little worried about being out there at night by myself. Can I bring a gun? And my first reaction was, no, no, it may not be a deer. It might be another runner. Absolutely not. But I said, and but before I responded to him, I said, let me call Joe Perseus. And Joe, he's a little rough around the edges. He's super honest and he can be a little blunt. So when I called him, the first thing he said, same thing, very strongly, very strong language. No, absolutely not. You know, so I told the guy no, but. And he didn't, thank God. Can you imagine? I mean, because these trails, you know, how trails cross themselves and you're, that's all we need is him shooting at a runner, you know. And that was Joe's thing was like, if he's scared to be in the woods alone by himself at night, don't do this race. It's not for you, you know.
He wanted to pack some heat.
Yeah, I've had a, what's that?
He wanted to pack some heat. Oh, my God.
I know.
Good one.
I know.
That's
a
game.
And it just. That never occurred to me. As many times as hours I've spent by myself at night on trails, it never once occurred to me to be armed. You know, I mean, just no. I don't know. I think I'm, I feel like I'm safer in the woods than I am on the roads running. You know, so I just it never. I figure if I'm going to go on a if an animal or something, but then that's the way it's supposed to. I'm supposed to go. It's okay.
Well,
I
will say I've taken a knife, especially like on the wild azalea at night. I've taken, but yeah, a gun. I'm not packing heat. That's not happening. Because by knowing me, I'm going to trip and fall and shoot myself. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
That's a good one.
Right. I do have a knife with like a Velcro that I'll have on my pack for when we used to loop Chico a lot. Like if I do double loops for in training, just for the hogs in case I got in camp, which we'd see hogs out there, but we've never actually had problems with them. Same thing with snakes. You know, we've all jumped over snakes, seen them out there, and nobody's ever had an actual encounter problem with a snake. So.
True.
Yeah.
True. Absolutely.
So, Edie, we talked about the Chico Challenge, which is coming up. What's the date of that again?
It's March 18th.
March 18th.
Starts at 8 a.m. Yep.
So
8 a.m.
Like I said, go do the Chico Challenge.
Yep.
Yes.
And you can do the 20 mile
or
you can do
the group
of friends.
Yeah.
Yep. You can do it with friends. I mean, it's super easy, fun day, and there'll be food and drinks and music after. So.
And then you have the Lugaroo is usually the second weekend of December.
Mm-hmm. Usually the first weekend.
First weekend of December.
Yeah.
And do we know that there will be no Manny Petties at Chico Challenge? Can we say that?
No. Okay. I mean, unless somebody wants to bring somebody with them to do that.
That's going to stay at Red Dirt.
No.
Okay. All right. No Manny Petties at Chico. That's okay.
So, Edie,
God bless Georgia. I don't want to touch people's feet.
Before we take up too much of your time, can you tell us a little bit about you had decided to put on a race? It used to be called the Danimal, and in the Lake Charles area, and then you were going to call it the Badlands. Is that correct?
No, I was going to call it No Man's Land because was called that. Yeah. That area was called that for years, way back when Louisiana was first settled, because it was kind of a neutral strip between two territories.
Right. I love that.
But,
I didn't realize it was history to that name.
That's right.
I wonderful.
That. Yeah.
It is.
Well,
it is. If you Google it, it's a really cool story, actually. Yeah. And that's how some of our ancestors in the area got down here, because they were fleeing from the law in other areas. And in the no man's land area, that strip, there was no law. So they could go in there and live. So a lot of the people, that's why they have like what do they call it? All the pirate, all that stuff, because Jean Lafitte was part of that. So it's a big history. If you're interested in history, read up on it because it's actually really cool. But we were going to do that. I met with Dan Smith, who did the Danimal for years, and he asked me to take it over. And it's just a one-day race. It's a shorter distance races. And then the storm happened. I forgot what storm it was that just tore up Lake Charles.
Maybe Laura.
I forgot the name of the storm, but
it could be.
And it just destroyed the park. I mean, it really tore up all. There's like no trees left. They're replanting trees in the park now. So for a few years, the whole park was just closed. And they finally started to reopen the trails now. But I've reached out to Lake Area Runners, a few people on their board, and offered because I had already bought all the medals, all the bibs and everything. And I told them I'm going to donate that to anybody who wants to put on that race, with the caveat that the first year, all proceeds go back to the park, just to help the park kind of rebuild and, you know, kind of get the beauty of that park back, because it really was devastated. But and I know they brought that before their board, but I just haven't heard anything back yet.
Right, right. Yeah. I know a couple of people on that.
The board.
Yeah, I do.
And what do they have now, like 8 miles that they've got recovered already?
I can't remember. I saw they had I saw a friend of ours, Nick Cronin. I know y'all know Nick, but
he
goes out there and runs. He gets a fair amount of mileage, like 6 or 8 miles within the park, I think.
We experienced the same thing. I hate to keep saying this, but we experienced the same thing in Wadazay with Hurricane Laura. Mm-hmm. Just devastated a couple of loops. But Edie, as I close, I want you to do a shout out, because I want to tell you a story. I was asked about 10 years ago to come help time a race at River Ranch in Lafayette with some friends of mine that time races down there. And I said, okay, I'll drive down and I'll help you guys. I had to do start chips. And I said, what's the race? And he goes, Bertha, she goes, it's for Maddie's Footprint. And I said, I've never heard of this thing. So I went down, Michael, to River Ranch in Lafayette. And I'm going to tell you, Edie, it was like hundreds of people at this race.
Yep.
And I did the start chips. And I'll never forget, we had problems with the finished chips because our reader went dead on us. So we had to, anyway, that's all we got the reads. But long story, I was blown away by this organization and what they did.
Yeah.
So as we close, can you tell us a little bit about your real job, which I think is a tremendous, tremendous organization?
Yeah, thank you. I know. I love it. I'm executive director for Maddie's Footprints. We cover now 19 parishes across South Louisiana, but we work with families that have miscarriages, stillbirths, or infant loss up to a year. Mm-hmm. We pay funeral expenses or medical expenses, but we also do professional counseling for the families after as well for free. Everything we offer is free of charge to the families. So Maddie's has been around for about 13 years now. I've been with them about 4.
Yeah.
But that little rate back then, it was still considered little. We have usually 1,600 or more people actually run. And in River Ranch Town Square for the after party, we have about 3,000 people participate.
That's amazing.
So it's a cool event. Well, and that race is really especially cool because it's designed to be the birthday party for all the babies that didn't make it to their first birthday. So the families come out and they have T-shirts made for their babies. They wear costumes. They have themes. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. We have a huge cookie cake that's like the size of a door that has hundreds of baby names on it. And the mamas can come and cut out their baby name and take pictures with it. And it's just a beautiful day all around, you know, and it really is. And it's a fast race. You know, if you like to come out and run, it's out and back, it's flat, but it's a really good fast PR course as well. So yeah, it is. I love my job, and it's demanding. Which is part of the reason I let go of Red Dirt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It is very demanding, but it's also very rewarding, you know. So you got to do something you love, you know.
So, yeah, and so we're going to plug a non-trail race here, Michael, for you folks that live in South Louisiana, Central Louisiana, heck, North Louisiana, because we're all one big state.
Yep.
Go down there, and it's still the River Ranch by the gazebo, right? That little area, is that correct?
Correct.
Yep, that's it.
Yep.
Go support Maddie's Footprints.
All right. So if you guys are not living in Louisiana, if you're living in Mississippi, Arkansas, Texas, and you're listening to this podcast, and even if you're in Louisiana and haven't done a trail race, definitely go do one of Edie Amon's races, the
Lugaroo,
or come and do the Chico Challenge.
Yep.
And or do the Maddie's Footprint race.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And everybody has to know what Lugaroo stands for, right? You're not a Louisianan, right, Edie, if you don't know, that's werewolf, right?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Werewolf.
And there's a real werewolf.
And a werewolf.
Yeah, so there we go. We'll end it with that.
And we have a mascot, yeah.
We have a mascot. Yeah, and Red Dirt has the mani pedis.
Me. Yeah,
okay. Red Dirt. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to stop
Edie,
that.
Edie, we thank you for your time. Tell Randy we said hello.
Yes.
And
we'll do. We'll do.
Love
you guys.
Guest.
Thank you. You're the very first guest, yeah. Edie, and we're going to have you on again.
I know.
Yes.
It's an honor. It's an. You know what? I'm not supposed to be. I am running a 100-miler again this July. So maybe after that we can talk.
Oh, let's do it.
Okay,
let's do it. Edie, thanks a lot. Thanks so much for joining us. Y'all take care.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, Brad, what a great interview we had with Edie, man. That was fantastic. I really enjoyed catching up with her. Her story about the runner wanting to bring the gun was just insane.
That was pretty nice to hear. Yes.
So, Brad,
what?
I wanted to share with you a little story that happened. She was talking about her friend Georgie.
But, Michael, I never finished the beer.
That's okay. You're still working on it. We still got about 5 or 6 minutes of post here to work on.
I've only drunk half of this beer.
Well, I'm only
and
like
it's been
two-thirds
like the
in.
The interview is like 45 minutes long.
And well, everyone knows that we recorded the interview on a different day and we're recording this on a
but
Saturday.
We were listening to it, weren't we?
No, we weren't. We have listened to it.
Okay.
All right, so her friend Georgie, who was at Red Dirt and cleaned the feet. So a couple years ago when I did my 100-mile attempt at Red Dirt, I was having a great day. It was fantastic. My first two loops, and you have to do a little bonus on the first loop. And then the second loop is just a traditional 31-mile loop. And then I felt great. I ate some gumbo. I came in. I changed my socks. I put on some new shoes for the final loop. Went out. Brad, I'm sub-24 at this point. I'm looking good. I feel fine. And I'm charging my watch. The first mile and a half or so as I'm running out of the start-finish line, I'm charging my watch in my hand. And you know me, so you know walking and chewing gum is difficult. So running while trying to charge my watch, holding the charger and the phone, proved more than I could handle because there's some white sand there near the start-finish line, about a mile in, and I tripped on a white root in the white sand.
That's so typical of you.
And I laid there for about 7 seconds, just feeling woe is me.
Yes.
And then finally I just said to myself, are you going to lay here all day like a big baby, or are you going to get up?
Yes.
So I got up and dusted myself off, but what it did was it kind of took the wind out of me a little bit, mm-hmm. and it took some steam out of the engine because I proceeded to do like a 10-hour final loop.
So you did not negative split.
I did not negative split. I mean, I went from sub-24 to I finished in 25-something.
Wow.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if that was the sole reason or if I didn't have a pacer and maybe that would have helped. But the funny thing is, and here's how it relates to Georgie, I got done and I'm sitting in the chair and Georgie comes over with her warm water and she starts to take off my socks and she goes, what's this? And I look at my left foot and I'm like, what do you mean, what's this? Well, she had just peeled my sock off and there sitting on my two toes next to my big toe is a quarter.
A what?
A quarter, an American quarter worth 25 cents.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was apparently I had had that sock knocking around in my bag, and a quarter somehow worked its way in there. And when I put my sock on about mile 70, the quarter went with my sock and sat on my toe for 31 miles. So I gave it a 31-mile ride.
Wow.
And so when she peeled that quarter off, there was a perfect imprint of President George Washington
on
my two toes next to my big toe.
Did you take a picture?
I guess it would be the pointer toe and the middle toe.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Take a picture?
I did not take a picture, so I can't prove that it happened.
Right.
And then, so last year when I saw Georgie again, I told her, hey, do you remember this? She didn't remember. But it happened. I had a witness there at the time. So it did happen.
Georgie, please.
Yeah. So, Georgie sees a lot of feet, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
But so that was an interesting thing. So I carried a quarter with me for 31 miles on. But the funny thing is, mm-hmm. I can almost blame that trip on the quarter.
Yeah.
Maybe my foot was just a little bit heavier. And it caught that root because of that quarter. And then that caused me to go downhill.
you know, I mean, we all have excuses, right?
Yeah.
So that sounds like a good one to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to live on excuses, but, you know.
Yeah, I know.
It is still, what it is. Yeah. I did finish the 100 miler. I'm proud of that, but, you know, I still am aiming for a sub 24.
Wow. Wow. Well, and you did the other loop in how long?
I don't remember, but I was definitely under the time to do a sub 24. I mean,
you ended up doing a 25
something.
Well, doesn't that correlate to the quarter? Oh my gosh, we're getting somewhere.
I don't know. That's too much thinking for me at this point.
No, because let's say if it were two dimes and three pennies stuck between your toes, that would be a 23 hour.
Mm-hmm. That inspired it. I don't know.
You're welcome.
All right. So this has been Louisiana Trail Report, episode 3.
What are we going to talk about? What we're going to do next week?
Thank you to Edie Amon for coming. And yes. let's do a quick intro to what we're talking about next week, because I really have no idea.
I got this idea for a race.
All right, tell me all about this.
So listen to Edie talk about the man with the gun. Okay.
Yes.
So let's put on a trail run, okay? And let's, like, the night before, release like 100 feral hogs out on the trail.
We don't need to release them. They're already there.
Okay. So let's say, and so give everybody at the start like a replica of a Bowie knife. Okay?
Yes.
For every feral hog killed with the Bowie knife, you get an hour deducted from your overall time.
Okay.
You get it? So, a kill with the Bowie knife during the race. So, you do 5 kills during the race with the Bowie knife.
Not of runners, but of feral hogs.
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh, no. We dare not go that way.
Yeah.
But... yeah, so you get a kill of a feral hog during the race, and you get an hour taken off your time. But then again, I started thinking, well, it may take you an hour to kill the feral hog.
Well, yeah, we don't want to give him a pocket knife for sure. Give him something substantial.
We want him a big knife.
Do they have to skin it as well or just slay it?
I think slay it.
Uh-huh.
It would be nice if they cut the heart out and brought it to us.
Yes.
You know how the Barkley, he peels pages off a book?
Yeah,
we need some kind of evidence that you've had the kill.
Okay.
Maybe bring the head.
Or just maybe some ears.
Or maybe an ear, and after every loop, if you've done it, drop whatever remains you want to drop. And it's up to the race director to determine what he or she wants as proof of the kill.
Yeah. This has gotten pretty dark.
Okay.
This episode has gotten dark.
Well,
after a great start.
I'm just thinking. I think like this.
Well, okay. Not all ideas are great ideas, as you've just proven with this latest race idea.
Well, thank you. But we will have another beer report?
Yes, we will. And we'll have some interesting things to talk about on the next Louisiana Trail Report.
Yes.
So this has been Mike Prayer.
Brad Caldwell.
Thank you for joining us.